We're back into our teaching. We're going to continue on the area of talking about in due time. And in teaching on this subject, the Lord brought it to me. And at first, I wondered why he did. He started talking to me about this thing, about things being, dealing with due time, talking about God sending the Messiah in due time, and all the things that, there's numbers of things talked about in the scripture that God did at the right time. And the timing, and I always looked at it and I thought, man really misses God's timing, because all through scripture we find that people did. People miss God's timing. And we go to the New Testament and we find out people miss God's timing. God's doing things and people don't realize it, know what's going on. Well, there's one thing, as we know, the New Testament's very clear on the fact that God is not hiding things from us, that he gave us the Holy Spirit so he would show us, so we would have. You know, God's not trying to hide from us, hide things. So if he's not trying to hide what he's doing, then I would have to look at the fact that if people don't know what God's doing and at the time he's going to do it, it can't be because of God. It has to be because of man. So people aren't asking sometimes the right questions. I've learned this many years ago about asking the right questions. Because sometimes we pray, we're believing for certain things, we're believing about certain stuff, and that there is wonderful. But you know, many times we're doing it ignorant about things going on around us, what we really need or want. And finally, I found this out. I'd come and ask the right question, and God would turn around and give me an answer. And I thought, man, I've been moving the wrong way in this thing the whole time. Never took time to find out what God had insight on this thing, and I'm out here doing what I feel is well and good. You know, you can do something that the Word says, but it's the wrong time to do it, and it ain't no good, whether the Word said it or not. And that's when it's finding out. We want to understand this. Well, one of the things that I got looking at, well, if man missing it, and God started to deal with me about our time that we're in, because people talk about the return of Christ, and I said this before, we have talked about things of where people have come along, and over the years, and I've seen many people prophesy, you know, really an incident that happened when I was at Rhema the first year I was there in school, and I started in 87, it was still my first year, but it was the spring. There was some ministry out of, I think Missouri it was, that put this book out and all this stuff on this thing, and Jesus Christ, they picked the date Jesus was coming back. So they had this Jesus was coming back, and Wanda and I came out of the Walmart in Broken Arrow, and we came walking out of the Walmart, and I walk in my car, and on the under the windshield is this thing, and it's about papers about this thick. People were going around and making copies of this book and giving it to everybody, because you know these people, oh, we got Jesus is coming, and they got the date picked and everything. Well, they picked a date, and I took it. I started reading the thing, and then this guy's going through all this mathematical stuff and all this figuring and that stuff, and right away I know this is a joke. You know, God, you don't have to be a mathematician to figure out the Bible. You got the Holy Spirit. If he can't teach you and show you when it is, you know, you got to go to college to find out. Well, you know, forget it. It ain't so. And I started to read, you know, some of it, and I thought, you know, this would be good for burning or something, but other than that, I don't know. But people jumped all on board of this. People really went to the things where they went out and started charging stuff and doing everything. People did this. And then Jesus didn't come, and they got all this debt they thought they were leaving. Well, see, they read a book. So I don't care what revelation comes that a person preaches. It doesn't matter if it's even right. It has to become a revelation to you. You don't do it because somebody says it. You can't walk in faith what isn't in your heart. If it isn't in your heart, it ain't a revelation to you. You can be, this happens all the time. See, people listen to somebody's testimony about healing or something, and they go try to do the same thing the other guy did, and it just fall flat in their face. Don't work at all. Why? That person did what they did with the revelation they had. You hearing what their revelation and they walking in don't mean you can do it. You must get a revelation of it. You have to. And so it's important. Well, I found this out. They turned around and missed it. And then he had a miscalculation on his figures, you know. His calculator wasn't working right. And so he made a second shot at it and missed that one. And he made a third. Now, I found this. I've watched this. This is just in my lifetime. Then I started looking at some history. Every person in my lifetime was coming on and made a calculation of when Jesus is coming back, does it three times in a row. Every time. When they miss it, they come back another time. See, people hate to admit it. I don't know why. Then three times. They always do it three times. Only one person, even like I studied history. See, in history had the same thing. When I look back, found some things in history where people had made predictions. You know, that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses came from. They were regular Christian groups, but they made a prediction that Jesus was coming back and he didn't show up. Then they made another prediction, and they made a third prediction, and they missed it all three times and then said, you know what? The 144,000 were taken. That's what happened. We don't know where they were, who they was, but they made that, and they started their own religion out of this thing. Why? Rather admit you're wrong. Now, that's not throwing the rocks at them. It seems that's the terrible thing. See, we have this today. We have prophets prophesying things for years now. Prophets saying things, and it ain't, don't ever come to pass. You never hear them repent. You never stop saying, you know, we missed that. And I will guarantee you, they'll make another lousy prophecy. They will. And see, we need to see these things that come along. There's one guy. That's the last guy that I heard of was doing it. I don't know if you folks remember the guy in California here back a few years ago. He made predictions. He made two predictions. And the third time he came out, he was going to make another prediction. And he's the first guy that ever happened. He said, you know what? I messed up. And the guy said this. He said, I must not know at all what's going on with this. Just let it alone. I thought, man, he had more sense than any of the groups anybody ever did that stuff. He finally came to the place he did know. Well, see, this is what we need to know, because we've had a lot of things. Now, we've had people say, well, we don't know the day or the time, but we've had people, many people come along and say, well, you know, Jesus is coming this year, or this, you know, this, we're not going to get out of this year, and that stuff. And I've heard that, and I'll be 73 years old this week, and so I've heard all this stuff a lot of times. I've been around the block a few times, and I've heard all this stuff. Back from when I was a kid, back in the 1950s, Jesus was coming. In the 1950s, Jesus was going to come. That was it. This was a move of God, and everybody's leaving. Well, here I am. So if Jesus already came and left, I missed it. You know, but they were preaching those things. Now, number one, I do believe that God talks to people about his return. There are people, there are prophecies and that stuff I can see in this day and time. You know, but see, one of the things that there was a wisdom that Kenneth Hagin had, which will really help people, because we're not going to find out what we're doing in our time if we're trying to operate in another time. If we're trying to operate in a time we really don't know of, we're trying to be in a season that it ain't that season, it's not going to work well. That's where the church is at. The church today is either in a season of the past, because they did real well in that season, and they just stay there. They just stay doing that same old thing all the time. They don't ever stop and look. Well, you know, we did really good at this, so we're just going to keep doing that. And then you got these ones. They have a season out here somewhere that they're always trying to get to that season, but they're not walking in the season they're in. It's like the farmer. I mean, in the springtime, he ain't out there getting a combine ready. He's not doing all the things. He's not out there getting silos ready and getting everything. He's not doing that stuff. You know, he isn't out there, you know, getting with the hay and stuff. He's out there. He's going to get ready to plant. He's getting ready for the year. He's going to be doing anything he has to do with any kind of fertilizing or whatever he's going to do. That's what he does in his season in the springtime. He's not out here saying, you know what, there's a harvest time coming. We better get over here and get to this. You know, he's not doing that. He understands his season is successful. Somebody who's successful, they have to know the season when it's a time to do it. You know, when's a good time to sell a lawnmower? It's usually not in January. You don't have a lot of people thinking that far ahead, but you know, it doesn't matter. You couldn't sell one at that time if you had a good price on it. But the whole thing is, we're not doing it. You have to know your seasons and your times. The church doesn't. The church is always throwing things out there and saying things. They're all out of time. And people get confused, and after a while people say, what's the point? Why do we listen to all this Jesus coming back stuff, and he's going to be back here next week out of this year, we ain't going to make it out this time, and people are all sitting in that, after a while people get fed up with it. People are like, you know, you get the point. I don't want to hear it. Now see, I believe people, absolutely do hear things. God says something. You take like Jesse Duplantis. He got caught up to heaven. Now, if this is back in the 80s, back in the mid-80s, I think it was the mid-80s, was it somewhere around 83 or 84, somewhere around in there? 85, someplace? I forget. I have his book. Now, one of the emphases that Jesus made to him, and really was the emphasis of the book, was at the end of the book. The end of the book was the really emphasis of what he was caught up to heaven for, was Jesus said to him before he's leaving to come back to the earth, Jesus tells him, Jesse, you know, tell my people I'm coming back. Tell them I'm coming back soon. Tell them I'm coming back. And Jesse said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. He said, Jesse, tell my people. In other words, he's saying his people don't know. Now, see, people could read all into that. See, it's one of the things as I begin to look at things about it. What happens is Kenneth Hagin had a great wisdom. He said, God gives a man a word and he makes a sentence out of it. You see, God gave Jesse a word. We took it from the word standpoint. Many people took it, well, Jesus is going to be get back right away. But you got to take it. Now, 100%, I believe Jesse had an encounter with Jesus. I believe that book that he wrote about his things was accurate. I believe it was. I believe it happened. But God, when you know, the Lord started to deal with me with that, it's when they see, many Christians today say Jesus is coming back, but they don't really believe it. The majority of Christians say that Jesus is coming back. It's just something we've learned to say. Because, well, it's scriptural. You can get along in a church world with that, you know. Because you wouldn't want to say Jesus ain't coming back with the group if you're in the group that believes he's coming back. Jesus kept saying that to him because it's like today. Today we have a lot of doctrine of people. They don't believe it's going to be a rapture like, you know, it's taught and that stuff. People have their own ideas. A lot of things people say, but they don't believe in their heart. You can say things and you really don't believe it. Well, it's number one, I've said this. You can always tell what people really believe by what they do. I don't care what a person says, but you can tell what they believe by what they do. Watch what they do. If they don't act in line with their belief. You see, if we go back to the church in the beginning, they always taught, you know, concerning Jesus coming back, be ready. Well, the church should always be ready, even if he isn't coming back. Because one thing's going to happen to you, one day you're going to croak. Just that simple. One day, your body is going to quit on you. And whether Jesus comes or not, if you go that way, you better be ready. It's a good thing to be ready. God's a rewarder. It's one thing as he taught me when I was a young Christian. If anything he loves to do is reward people. And when people aren't ready to meet him, they may go to heaven, but they don't have reward. God don't want you to show up there and say, boy, you finally made it. And I don't want to be one of the guys when, like Jesse Duplantis had in his book, the guy got to heaven and he oh my God, I made it. I made it. I don't want to be that guy. So see, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Is a guy like that going to have reward? You think he was living a life for Jesus? God desires to reward people. He ain't saying all this stuff just because. And see, he wants you to be ready. And so the church should always be a ready thing. We should always treat things, you know, like we're going to meet Jesus. Most people live like they ain't ever going to meet him. And so it's one of these things that we need to get ourselves around in a thought and a believing in our heart. Is it true? How do you get there? Well, you can listen to other people preach about it, but you've got to get in the Word yourself. It's got to be something that you believe. See, if you're a studier of the Word, you'll never have the faith of the person who does. Just because you listen to preachers ain't going to make you a big person of faith. It's not going to happen. I didn't develop my faith through preachers. I developed my faith hearing preachers teach stuff, and I went and looked up, studied things, found out what they did, found out good principles from them that would help me develop my faith. I found out this, you'll never have strong faith unless you're using it. So see, you ain't going to get strong faith listening to me preach. That'll never happen. You got to use it. It's like muscles. You can read all the books you want on lifting weights and doing stuff. Till you pick it up, just forget it. It don't matter. See, It isn't what you know makes you a success. It's what you do with what you know will make you a success. And Christianity thinks, I can just sit and listen. See, that's our society today. We sit kids in school, just feed information. They don't ever practice nothing or do nothing half the time. Nobody wants to make anybody do anything. My words, they might get a bead of sweat on their head or something. I don't know, somebody, we don't want to do that. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, you know? Because life's got to be nice and easy. Well, life's not easy. You know, and we need to understand this. We got to have, you know, a lifestyle that matches what our belief is, in other words, what we do. And so these things are important. And we're going to look this morning, we're going to First Kings, the 18th chapter. Because number one, first of all, we hear much said. People talk about the last day revival. They talk about the last day revival. What I want to ask you, is there really going to be one? I don't care what some preacher or prophet prophesied. It don't matter. You need to understand this. Anything God prophesies through people has to have a scriptural basis for it. It must have a scriptural basis. It has to. How could you judge prophecy? See, now today, this is what's been going on. We have all these people out here today that are trying to, because, see, we've had so much false prophecy. Now, all of a sudden, these runs have risen up. We shouldn't judge the prophets. Oh, no, we shouldn't be saying it. We shouldn't be. Oh, yes, we should. They should be judged. I'm not saying judge the person, but you judge what's said. You better judge what's said. You're going to believe everything somebody says. I watched the believing. You know, I grew up in Christianity with the knuckleheads when this shepherding stuff started. I saw the messes that went on when people come around and you had a leader and you had to do everything they said. And I watched these guys start to control them things and controlling people's lives and doing stuff, mess things up. They brought people to ruin, everything, but people followed after. It was a move of God. Nobody read the word to find out. They just believed because it got preached. Seemed like a good thing. I didn't ever have to pray or seek God. Somebody else would tell me what to do. People love that. We know that people love that. We wouldn't have our government that we have today. People want somebody to lead them and tell them what to do and everything, and they don't have to figure nothing out. And all you do in life, do whatever you want, and at the end, they take care of you. That's America. Well, that's the church. The church is identical. The church is waiting for the minister to hear from God, do all this kind of thing, come up and hand it to me on a platter, and now I got it all. Well, I found out it didn't work that way. I kept having to work at it. I mean, 2:30 this morning, I had to work at it. 2:30 this morning, woke up. And there's things to do. I don't know how people think about or think about God. You know, we try to fit God into the convenience of our life. That's what the American church has done. We've shut God out. We want a revival as long as it's not inconvenient. We want a move of God as long as it doesn't disturb what I'm doing. You know, I would like to sleep till 5:30 this morning. I think I made it to 4. I was up from like 2:30 to like 4:30, toward 5 there, somewhere around there. And then I dozed off a little bit and looked over and it was 5:15 and I thought I might as well get up. But you know, we it's number one. But I want to know, what is God saying? I want to know. And I want it verified in Scripture. I want to know. When I started talking to God about some of these things, number one, I talked to Him about it. God is not nervous if you ask questions. God's not nervous if people say things and say, God, I can't see that. You know, I don't care if they're right. I have to be able to see it before I can act on it. See, people running around, following things. Well, everybody else is. I found on this, I'll tell you what, and I believe he's accurate. Randall Greer said this, if you look at the way 80% of Christians are going, if you go the opposite direction, by default, you'll follow God. When I see the crowd mostly going in a direction, I stop immediately. I know this can't be right. The crowd never follows God. The crowd in Christianity never follows God. Never. They follow whatever the fads come along or whoever's doing this and that. Everybody's afraid to stop. They're afraid, well, if I stop and ask a question, others ain't going to like this. You know, we just had this in Congress, didn't we? Look how 80% of Congress got like a bunch of morons and idiots because somebody said, hey, I want some questions answered before we go on to this. You know what? The crowd, that whole crowd, the screaming and yelling in the whole crowd, right there are the rhinos, and they're a bunch of them are there. We're fighting against the rhinos. No, you ain't, you one of them. When you don't like anybody asking a question, stop and say, hey, I want to know what's going on. I think we ought to be doing something different. Oh, no, you don't go along with us. See, people love to be liked. To me, I just like somebody that stirs something up every once in a while. That's what we need. Nobody's going to ever develop their mind to even think. See, there was a ministry they called, it was called Let My People Think. I thought that was pretty good. Because in Christianity, anything they don't want you, be a zombie. You know, be walk around, be a zombie. You know, walk around here, you know, with your eyes bloodshot, walking around, your hands out in front of you. Just, you know, hey, good Christian, good Christian. There you go. Don't ask any questions. Don't have thought. Nothing matter with thinking. You know, God's had to correct my thinking many a time. But, you know, sometimes I've came to really revelation came to me because I didn't stop where everybody else stopped at and said, well, this is just all right. I had questions and I started asking and God answered them. And I found out that, hey, things are the way people go. It isn't right. It's not. You say, I want to know. Don't you want to know? Well, see, I'm not going to give you all the answers now. You might have to seek God. But there's one thing as it did. And this 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, came from this. It just came from this. Well, and I've preached this before and I've talked about it before. But we're going to go over it again. The Lord told me to talk about this again. In 1991, on April 15th, 1991, I was just minding my own business, studying the Word concerning a message I was going to preach on Sunday. So I'm just studying, just minding my own business, not paying attention. And out of the clear blue, unexpectedly, you know, you'd never think it happened. I have an encounter with God. You know, sometimes, and over the years, I've had this where I'm going along and all of a sudden, God clearly begins to speak. It isn't a voice to the outside, but inside, all of a sudden. It's like stuff starts happening. And that night, I'll never forget, just as clear, the Lord spoke inside of me and said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen through this valley in the last days. And then he told me to go to 1 Kings 18. I mean, he took me through this. I didn't think this up. I didn't. He said, I'm going to show you what it is. And he took me to 1 Kings 18 chapter. Now, this is really interesting because it's been maybe 5-6 years ago, Randall Greer came along and said he had a revelation about things in the end times. And I was at one of his meetings, and he said, God gave me this. He took 1 Kings 18 and went right through the same thing God told me, exactly the same stuff God told me, 1 Kings 18. But I want you to know this. This is not going to happen everywhere. You see, this is one of the wrong thinkings that people get. But see, over time, God taught me some things, over time. This is why, when you have prophecy, don't be so quick to jump and say what it means. Because I'll tell you what, you'll probably end up missing it lots of times. Because lots of times, prophecy over time, if we would look, look how many prophecies that we have in Scripture that if we look in the Old Testament, now we're talking about stuff said thousands of years ago, yet they were spoken, and really, we don't even see toward the fulfillment of it today. So you don't see it clearly the way it's going to turn out till in our time. So if you're back there trying to say what that prophecy meant, you're going to be way off base. And see, this is what we've done in Christianity. We're so quick. We're so quick to say what something means, and we need to be very careful. Like now, the Lord's been dealing with that. Think about Kenneth Hagin said, God gives a word and we make a sentence. You know, so you start adding, you start saying, it's one thing to say what God said, and it's another thing to put your thought on it. Let's add on my how I perceived it. Understand this. You, when God speaks to you, you will perceive things according to how you think. You will. Hey, that's how we work. When you hear words said, what you ever think those words mean is how you're going to end up thinking. That's what you're going to do. And this is the hard thing, is God says something and say, okay, I'm thinking like this, but is that what he's thinking? when he said it. Now that's what we have to find out. Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's speaking? See, lots of times with prophecy, we should, when we heard it, people should take it and pray it out and find out whether or not. It was like Kenneth Hagin, you say, he said, if I prophesy, I'd say something to you and it don't witness in your heart, he said, just forget it. He said, anybody can miss it. We could all miss it. Well, today, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in missing it. And they do all the time. But they don't believe in it. Well, actually, they know. They believe in it, but they ain't going to admit it because they'd have to admit they're wrong, and that's hard to do. You know, people have this idea. I heard a major minister said one time, he sent me a tape and sent me a tape, and on his tape he had it there. If you miss it, don't ever admit it, because then people won't follow you. Major minister. Telling other ministers, if you make a mistake, don't admit it. Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, take your offering, send me money. Had him on tape. Well, I quit listening to him because I figured, well, you know, you got to watch. I don't need eating the hay and leaving the sticks. I don't need to be going to places to eat where they know you're going to get sticks. And just like, left this alone. I mean, I don't know how he could say that by reading the scriptures and come up with an idea like that. So when you have people that are not repenting. But in 1 Kings, we have a story here, and it's interesting because I'm not going to read through the whole thing. There's certain portions I'm going to start to talk about today. And we'll go on through to this, but there's some things that God wants to that will lead us. Where do we fit today? Where are we at? What the position we're at, where should we be? Well, the Lord, when telling me, said he's going to show me what's going to happen in the last days. One of the things that starts out, see, there has been, and in fact, if you go over into chapter 17, you'd find out that there was a great drought, a three-year drought. The prophet Elijah prophesied that there no rain would fall in 3.5 years except at his word. Now, we need to understand this. He didn't just up and just think this up. He's a prophet. He's speaking by the Spirit of God. In other words, this is what God said. He's just saying what God said. So, you know, we go over in the New Testament and people misread over there because in the New Testament talks about the saints, and it uses the fact that, well, Elijah was a guy like we were, and he spoke it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and he spoke, he did. Like, you're just going to go out and do that anytime you want to. No, you're not. It's not what that's not what it's bringing out to try to give you that idea. You're not just going to go around and do it anytime you want to run around. If you could, you'd be just like the disciples. Lord, should we call fire down on them? That's, hey, amen. It's good preaching. God, we don't need that power. We ain't got enough mature people in the church to play with that one. You know, I don't want to call fire down unless God say call fire down. I don't want to go there. So we're not playing with that. Number one, our desire should be this, is to do the will of God, whatever it is. If he wants something said or done, Jesus said this, and we need to follow this example. I don't say anything unless the Father says it. I don't do anything unless the Father does. Follow that example. So I think Elijah would have been following after that example. He wasn't a guy just out. He wasn't a gunslinger, just out pulling his gun, shooting off, you know, showing everybody what a good shot he was. He wasn't doing that. So, but he went out there. This drought is in the land, and this drought is severe, and this drought is because of sin. Sin in the land has brought drought. Well, see, we have all this trouble in America. And why? There's a drought. Now, what does that drought mean? See, we're talking about here. We can have physical manifestations, but one thing is they don't deal with in the old covenant. The old covenant's types and shadows of things. Why is there a drought in the land? We say, well, sin. In other words, a spiritual condition is what causes things to happen in the physical. Good or bad. People can do things spiritually by using faith to be healed. Put a spiritual condition into motion for good, and it'll bless you. See, we got saved. We got born again by acting in line with spiritual principles, and it brought into manifestation into our lives, and it changed our lives physically. My life became changed physically. I became acting out like a different person. I know it's hard to believe, but if you didn't know me before, you'd say, yeah. But see, it acting out, why? A spiritual, so in other words, spiritual conditions, whatever is going on in the spirit, is what causes things to happen. See, we miss this a lot today. Today, we're trying to judge even lots of things, and even people, and why people do stuff, and this and that, based on physical conditions. See, that's a lot of what psychology does. Psychology looks what people does, and they study what people do. They say, we're studying the mind, but really, they're watching what people do, and they do this because of this, and they come up with an idea. No, he's probably possessed by a devil, but see, they don't believe in that. So they come up with another. He was raised wrong. His mama was probably mean to him. Why, you take every kid that his mama was mean to him, they don't all turn out to be bad. So that shoots that theory down. But psychology, it don't. No. You couldn't be acting bad on your own. You're generally a nice person. Before I got saved, I wasn't no good. And neither were you. You know, I was listening on the radio yesterday onto a Christian station and heard a good psychological salvation message. It was really good psychological, and what it was. The guy was saying things are true from the Bible. But his end result was this. He's trying to get people to accept Jesus and says, if you don't accept Jesus, if you don't accept him, all the good things he has for you, you're not going to be able to have them. Is that it? Is that really the end of it? No, the end of it is the wrath of God's going to go on you, and for life you're going to spend in punishment and hell. But he said, you're just, now think what a person thinks. Okay, I'm not going to get that good stuff that he wanted me to have. I'm okay. I like the good stuff I have right now. So I'm going to be all right. When he got done, he said he was preaching the gospel. Telling a person, the only thing you're going to miss out on, it's just not going to get the good things God wants for you. Well, what are you going to have? There's other things you're going to have. It'd be good to tell them what that is if you don't. Jesus didn't save you just for good things. He saved you to keep you from eternal punishment, that really bad thing. Christians live and die and don't, lots of times, never walk in all the good things in this life that they could have that God has for them. But they get to heaven because they know Jesus died for their sin. But we got to, don't say anything uncomfortable. Well, they were in an uncomfortable situation here. There's drought on the land. It's so bad, they're trying to find places to water their animals or they're going to have to put them down. You know, eat them for lunch or whatever it is, the mules and the horses and whatever it is. In other words, the things are terrible. In other words, there is drought. There's drought because there's sin in the land. Israel, there's two, understand this, there are two different groups. There is Judah, which is over where which they call the land of Judea, and there was Israel. The 10 tribes of Israel broke away from Judea, and they broke away, and what they got into idolatry because they didn't have the temple, so the kings wouldn't want the people going over there to church. So rather than go to church and do what's right, they set up worship for them over here, which became idol worship. And they're over here worshiping Baal. And there's a guy named Ahab. And Ahab is a real weakling. He's not a leader. He's a follower. His wife tells him what to do and he jumps through the hoop. She's the mean one. But I tell you what, he was judged with everything she did. He listened to it. And she was a Baal worshiper and had all her. She took care of all the Baal priests and all that kind of stuff. And she did those things. She's over killing the priests of God, and her husband's letting her do it, sitting around because he don't want to make her mad. Because why? She'd probably kill him too. She's gonna run the show. But neither of them are figuring about God, and God's involved in things. Number one, God is interested in His people. He has leaders that aren't any good. Ahab's afraid of everybody. You know, he don't like Elijah, but he's afraid of him because this guy got power, just like his wife. He's got more power than he does. So he's afraid of him also. But what happens that this Elijah, God, you folks have all probably heard the story. God had sent him into hiding during this time. Ahab wanted him. In other words, it's sort of like the thing, you know, you get over here where God will quit answering you. You know, God will do that. God will let you sit in suffering. He put Israel into suffering and got them into a bad place where they needed to want to get out. Ain't that something? See, when the Lord told me about this, the Lord said to me, now this is interesting, in 91 there was not a spiritual drought in America. In fact, there was moves of God going on all over the place in the United States. And the Lord spoke to me about a drought. Well, see, at the time he spoke about it, he taught me about there's a great drought. He said that he was going to do this is what he did with Elijah. Elijah was in Israel for a while, but he sent him to another country, to a widow woman's house, and he went there and he stayed there with her for a while. But then God called him out. God finally said, okay, it's time to go talk to Ahab. It's time to come out. And the Lord spoke to me when I read that time, and he said, there'll be a great drought in the land. Well, we're coming into time of drought, ain't we? America's definitely in a spiritual drought. We're in a place in our land, you need to understand, the spiritual condition of America is why what's going on is what's going on. It's not because we have a bad government. We have a bad people that don't worship God, that don't follow God. That's what's going on. That's what it is. There's a drought in the land. Well, it's just like in that day, Ahab had a guy who was one of his servants. If you read the story, he tells Elijah, when Elijah comes out, he said, didn't you hear, you know, I took 100 prophets, 50 each, and put them in different caves and took care of them because, you know, Jezebel's killing all of God's prophets in the land. So see, God's people, see, are hid out. You know, sometimes God hides his people out. He don't want them out there. He wants things to go. So, because you know what Christians do when they get out? They want to keep everybody from facing everything. I think sometimes God lifts the anointing on people. He has to, or they just get dumb. Sometimes, well, God came to the person, and the Lord said to me, he said, it'll come to the place. He said, I will bring my... He said, I'm going to bring the church out. I'm going to bring the church out. I thought, well, now I think about the day and read it. He said, I'm going to bring the church out. Elijah didn't come out in his time. He came out when God called him out. See, you can't anoint yourself to come out. See, one of the great falsehoods in the church, especially among the Spirit-filled people, the idea that if you're called, you're anointed. You ain't anointed because you're called. You're anointed because you're sent. I didn't get the anointing to stand in my office. I was till God called me out into it and sent me. I didn't determine the day that I was going to start get a teaching anointing. I didn't say, God decided that day. I didn't. When God told me to start a church, he called me out to do it. 1989, we moved, when I was going to be leaving from Rhema there at the end of the year, when he called me, he said, because you were faithful and done what I've told you to do, he said, I'm going to set you and put you in your own ministry. I'm going to do that. See, at that time, it doesn't matter if I'm called. See, Paul said, you know, God put me in the ministry. He didn't say he went to the ministry and did it. God put me in the ministry. See, there's a time that you're out here and that stuff, you're laboring and working, you're listening to God. And when you prove yourself faithful, God will call you out and anoint you. See, it's one of the things is we need to learn to be faithful in days and times like this when it's, things seem a bit dry. These are the days you're going to prove yourself. And a lot of people have proved themselves bad. They're not faithful. They've moved away from things that God has taught them and moved them from. They get over here following things. Because when it gets dry, instead of people saying, you know what? Now, I don't care how nice you think it was that God fed, you know, Elijah by ravens and that kind of stuff. But he's sitting out there by a drink. And there, I'm going to tell you, he's in the drought too. He watched his stream dry up, and I'm sure he was thinking the whole time, my words, don't God know that the water's getting low in this day? Don't God know that the stream, he sent me out here. Do you don't think his mind was thinking those things? But he didn't change. So God sends him down and sends him to a widow, and all she's got is a flour barrel with enough to make a little cake. That's all she got. He didn't send him down the smorgasbord. He didn't send him down there. He didn't send him to some great spot where he was rich and he'd have a great comfortable bed, you know, and he'd be waited on and taken care of. Didn't send him there. Oh my God, what is this? The church hasn't done well. Now, I'm talking about this move of God at the end. It's number one, if we don't understand what's going on, we'll make wrong choices and decisions. We'll think, well, no, God wants me to have this and wants... Hold it, stop. What does He want you to have? What does He want you to do? There is nothing the matter with going through just some discomfort. It'll prove you. No man is proven in good times. Never. Not one person has ever improved because of good times. Good times will make you weak. If it does anything. We're made strong by going things that require strength. That's how you get it. You get strength by going through things and that stuff. See, I learned that from my parents, from their lives. My parents were very strong from the standpoint of just their basic faith in God was very strong. It's because of what they went through in life. They had learned to hold on. They had learned to stand. They had learned those kind of things. Everything didn't go the best. See, we've had too much today where people are trying, well, you know what? My stream's starting to dry up. I'm looking for a stream, man. Did God tell you to go away from my stream? So the next good thing that comes along that'll fulfill my need, I'll jump to it. I'll get over there at it. Let's go get it. Let's get near that thing. That guy over there looks like he has enough to drink. I'm going to him. He looks like his is working over there. His, you know, they're doing good. I'm gonna go do it. No, you listen to God. To stay where you're supposed to stay, to do what you're supposed to do. That's what you do. See, people get discomfort, they move around. Just look around churches. People move around one church, next church, everything. And a little discomfort. You get a little discomfort. They got a better stream over here. They're jumping up and down. I want to get over there near that one because they must have something really good over there. See what that one there is going. See, I'm going to go to the other guy's stream and drink. Elijah thought, think I ought to go over to the cave where those other guys are. Maybe I ought to go there. I'll get served bread and water anyhow, you know. This is good preaching, folks. This is really good. Hallelujah. And see, we're in this. There's nothing wrong. See, we lose the fact, and this is where is it sometimes in teaching of faith has hurt us because sometimes some of them gave the idea that you're not going to go through difficulties and you're just going to come out of them right away. No, you don't. God sent him for a 3.5-year difficulty. They're having it, but God has to hide him out, but he didn't hide him out down at the Hilton. Well, why didn't he do that? This is a good prophet that follows and listens to God. Why would God do such a thing? Because when he comes out like a lion. He comes out. He's a guy who has trusted God for 3.5 years with his life. He's given it to God to do what he wants with it. And he knows this God will take care of him. This God's all right. When times are difficult, he's taken care of me the whole time along. In a difficult situation, things aren't good. But he took care of me here. Hallelujah. Things look like they weren't good. You know, Juan and I have seen in that year and last year and into this year, we've seen things of difficulties. A bunch of more difficulties than we probably had in the last 5-10 years. Proven ground. Why? Glory's coming. Many people are going to watch the glory. Ed's going to be in it. I don't have to go to a show. I'll have Mom. We'll let God show. You see, don't worry about this difficulty stuff. It's a place to grow into. It's a place to stop and say, well, you know, things didn't work out the way I was believing. Well, it ain't God's. Well, maybe I need to change. Need to learn some things. Maybe I need to develop some. It isn't why God. No, it's why me. Lord, what do I need? I need to, sometimes you just need to learn to stand. There's one thing is God has taught me over this past year and this year, just keep a smiling. Hallelujah. Don't change my confession. I'll tell you what, glory to God, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Don't feel sorry for me. Hallelujah. I'm having too much fun. The only thing that would bother me is if God quit talking to me. Most Christians, as long as they get stuff, they're happy. To me, if God don't speak to me, what's wrong? I've never had my Christian walk where God neglects me. Never had it. I talk to him, he responds to me. Not always the way I like, but but he responds. But knowing most people don't. They don't have the fellowship. They don't have fellowship. They think God's about stuff. No, I'd rather be able to hear from him than have the stuff. That's what I, what are you saying? What are you saying? See, right now in this time, period, people don't know how desperately they need to hear from God. Because they're not hearing from you. You need to personally hear. You need to. You don't need to wait till some guy prophesies. You don't need to wait till somebody preaches it. Why don't you know it when the preacher said, yep, that verifies what God's been telling me. Hallelujah. Now I know. Instead, this is the first time I heard it, and it's the last time I'm going to hear it. Because I ain't going to look about it again. Yee-hee! Good preaching. But anyhow, God calls him out. And he comes out, and he tells Ahab's servant to go get Ahab to come back to him. And in 1 Kings, it comes down to this. Is what he does is he comes, and Ahab said to him that he was, called him a troubler of Israel, and Elijah told him he's the troubler. See, people don't like prophets. See, even in those days, they didn't like prophets that didn't prophesy everything was going to be all right. Everything was good. They weren't very popular in those days. The guy who prophesied the drought that came to pass, he's not the guy they like. They want the guy that tells them everything's all right and it don't turn out all right. But they'll go back and listen to him again and send him a check. You know, don't matter, doesn't matter. Just keep saying wonderful things. Say, well, the reason it didn't come to pass is because you just didn't believe enough. Oh, they're doing that stuff. Now, it says in Scripture, if a prophet prophesies it don't come to pass, tells you not to be afraid of him, he's a false prophet. No, it isn't like that today. Prophesy, something's wrong with you that didn't come to pass. What's wrong with you? You must be a weirdo. I'm going to tell you, this junk we have being preached around today is a faith killer. It's killing the faith of people. Making people think there's something wrong with them. Ain't something wrong with you. You have the Holy Ghost in you. You can hear from God. You can't. People don't want to take responsibility for what they say. And they'll just turn it and throw it right back in your face that you're the problem. Send me a check. Send me a check and God will bless you. Because you ain't smart enough to have God to talk to you. Don't touch God's anointed. They touch God's anointed all the time. They kick the sheep around. They don't have any love for them. All they see them is a paycheck. They see it as a way to get money out of it. The Lord spoke to me back in 2014 what he thought about these guys. He ain't happy. I'd hate to think what's going to happen when they meet him. But they will. They're going to have to answer questions. Hallelujah. So, anyhow, what happens here in verse 17, I'm going to start to read it. 17, it says, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah, and eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered them, the prophets, together on Mount Carmel. But we see that here. One of the things of it is, he spoke to him. In other words, they left the word of God, they followed the Baal. See, we think today, and we use the terms today, we talk about idol worship. See, we don't think of worshiping other gods as the things what the New Testament, New Testament tells us. In other words, it'd be the love of anything else is idolatry in the New Testament. The love of stuff, the love of things. See, we have today, we have idolatry concerning our government. The Lord spoke to me the first time he talked to me about that was when Bill Clinton was president. He said, I'm judging America because I wanted to know why. I thought there was a lot of fussing going on there. I did. What did I know? See, don't read into nothing what you think. Because I thought that's a lot of fuss. And I said, Lord, why is all this mess today? What is going on? He said, I'm judging the God. See, we thought it was all just about hearing the devil do it. No, men are reaping what they sow. He said, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. And you know what? America is still worshiping the government. The American church, a lot of conservatives are government worshipers. They think that some kind of being a conservative and you liking a certain group of people as being the answer. I'm going to tell you what, it's Jesus is the answer. Get it clear who you love. Get it clear. You know, I could see why God put it in my heart, and I saw it when this thing went on there, because I told you people, don't you think that a lot's going to change just because we, if the Republicans take the House? We saw how they acted. Somebody didn't want to go along, and man, they were just like the Democrats. We want to kill you. You're a terrorist. These are supposed to be the good guys. Acting just like the guys that they say that are bad over the other side. Why? Wrong spirits. Conservative don't mean Christian. It don't mean Christian. See, people with wrong spirits. But we see here, there's idolatry goes on in our nation. There's idolatry in all kinds of things where people follow things and it's what they love. You can find out with what you want to take from people. You'll find out quick what people love. And it won't be Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, they'll fight over taking something from you naturally if you want to try to take it from them. But, you know, they'll fight like crazy. But, you know, if you're going to take the church away from them, they'll be, well, they'll complain about it. But we're not going to do it. We won't fight over that one. You know? But so we have here that... God is calling. Now, this is not Elijah. Understand this. The prophet is speaking what God's saying. This is not Elijah calling the people up there. Elijah's just the voice of God calling people. In other words, this is a move of God. This is what God's doing. Now, God has judged the people. They're in a position where they're really hurting. They're hurting badly. You know, there are definitely people missing lunch. You know. They didn't have stores and things like today. You could just go out and just go get stuff. And, you know, you had stuff that was canned and you could put it away. They had dried food. It was all dried up. It dried up in the field. It wasn't like... So they're hurting. And they got into a position, and they're in a position. This is about God showing up. See, when the Lord spoke to me, this is what's going to happen last days. He said he was going to show up. Now, there's things that I did understand about this because of things before that the Lord had me prophesy, not in front of people. It was by myself, standing up on Sunset, which was called Sunset Hill. I don't know if they still call it that or not up there, where the Sunset Market is up there. They used to call that Sunset Hill. And the Lord had me go up there. I was just born again, not long. You know, the power of God would come on me. I'd go out and walk and pray. And he had me walking and praying over the Lebanon at the time. I didn't realize at the time what he was doing is having me pray over Lebanon's future. I didn't know that. I just go out there and pray in tongues and walk around the city and I'd pray things. And the anointing come on me. And the Lord directed me to go up on the hill and stand over. He wants you to go up there and pray. And I stood up there and I was praying and the anointing came on me about Lebanon. And I prophesied at that time. At that time, Lebanon, the Lebanon Bethlehem Steel had gone out, lost its jobs. Lebanon didn't have it because everything was tied to the steel mill. Everything. See, one of the things were really funny. God blessed and made it wonderful. There's no one business that holds everything in Lebanon Valley. That's wonderful. Whenever a town or an area is tied to one company, that's not a good thing. Devil gets that and he takes everything. And that's what he did to Lebanon. He took everything. When he took those jobs, he took everything because everything was tied to it. All the other businesses around it, even from the other machine shops and all that, they were working, doing stuff. Bethlehem Steel, and Bethlehem Steel folded down, and it's like, whoa. I mean, Lebanon, the county went out of work. Loads of people were out. But I was standing up on a hill, and God spoke through me and prophesied over the prosperity of Lebanon. That businesses were going to come in, that even CEOs from companies would come and move into this area. And it's happened. God has blessed this area. And I was prophesying that back then, and I thought that was really neat. Now I could think about it in my mind, and I'd look what's going on. Because you know what happens? When the anointing leaves, it's just you, and you start thinking. See, you got to watch what you say after God's had you say something. Because you'll talk yourself and say something stupid about, you'll start adding your thoughts of what you think. You'll start doing that. I learned that as a young man. I knew the anointing was on me to say that because I would have never said those things over that. But when I was up there, I said, people, I began to speak about a move of God, that people would come from the north and the south and east and west to come to the light that's going to shine in this valley. And I'm up there saying these things. Young Christian. Not even born again a year. Standing up there just being an idiot on the hill. Up there, you know. I hadn't had a whole bunch of teaching on that area about, you know, about doing that kind of things, the prophesying and saying. I didn't have a whole lot about that. But the anointing of God would just come on me and I'd do that. And over time, I did that. So when this event took place years later, so it took place about somewhere around 10 years after that took place. And so this takes place and God begins to speak about what is going to go on. I realized at that time, with the Lord speak, because of things that He told me, because there was going to be a move of God. During that time period, I was walking down Walnut Street praying one day, and the Lord used to send me out, and I would walk the streets of Lebanon and pray. And I was walking down Walnut Street, heading east on Walnut Street, and the Lord said this to me, there's a revival coming. See, it doesn't matter. He said, look, I know what He said to me, but that don't mean that just because I say it, you go right, yeah, that's what Pastor Ed said. Well, good luck. I ain't Jesus to you. Get over it. You find out if that's what God's saying. You need to know, is it true or not? You need to get in your heart, is that true? Is that what He's speaking? You know, many times I take prophecies that people said, and I take them and read over them and pray over them till that prophecy, I know that God spoke that thing. I don't believe them just because I read them and it sounds like something I want to hear. I don't care who said it, Kenneth Hagin or who else. I take that prophecy and I pray over it and pray over it and pray over it. I've had sometimes for months praying over prophecies till God spoke to me about that prophecy. See, we have today, some guy says that we just jump right in the middle of it, going, this is going to happen, and then soon somebody questioned, well, so-and-so said it. Well, see, we don't say, God told me. No, so-and-so, God so-and-so that I worship, he said it. We right away throw it over that individual. What about you? You shouldn't be said it if it ain't in you. Don't say anything that God ain't saying to you. Come on. See, we need to be very careful. We just take prophecy, do that with the Bible? Just right away throw it out there. See, this is one of the things that we need to get over. It is so easy in the areas just to follow a man. So God is doing something here. This is a move of God. And see, that's what we want. See, we want a move of God. We want to hear what God's saying and move in position, just like Elijah did. Not just people, we want to have this. This is what we're going to do, and we can decide. We decide nice, wonderful things to do, but it isn't what God's saying. But Elijah is following it. He tells him what to do. You go out here, get everybody together, get all your prophets and everything of Baal. That's what they've been worshiping, Baal. Get them. Let's go up to Mount Carmel. Now I want you to understand this, because this, God's in control. Up, and see this, God is going to move in His place, not in their place. God's going to pick the spot. Oh, people have picked the spots. They picked the place that they decided they want to see a move. They picked, no, God picks a spot. Mount Carmel is the place where an altar of God had been built. That had been, God had found. That's a place, and He calls them up there. That was a place that God had established. So you let God establish what He wants to. God call it to whatever He wants to. Whatever we're going to do. See, people got to learn in that area to listen. Just what does God want to do? You know, so many people, one of the bad things about it is so many people, and I've heard this so often, ministers said, you know, well, you know, we just got to hurry up and do things. We can't sit around and wait. We got to go. You know, they always use this thing about, they use it from a business standpoint about, you know, redeeming the time. Oh, and redeeming the time means you just get to work and do a whole lot of stuff, and that's what you do. Well, that's what we've done. Hasn't it worked wonderful? We've just been so busy and no move of God. See, they throw that one out there and use it from a standpoint. See, you've got to hurry up. What's the point of hurrying up if you don't know what God's doing? What's the point? You've got to hurry up and do this. You've got to hurry up and do that. No, the thing to hurry up and do is let's find out what God wants. Because when God started dealing with me in the areas of town, what did it do good for Israel to hurry anything up and they missed the Messiah? What would that be? All that they were doing, and they didn't know the Messiah when He showed up. What good was all they were doing? What good was the new temple? What good was that new temple they had down there that a heathen king built them a God temple? That even the disciples, isn't this thing incredible? And Jesus said, yep, every stone's going to be torn down. He just ruined everything. We were just glorying over this great place. And he said, ah, it's going to be gone. He didn't say anything God didn't say. God wasn't interested. God had a plan running that was going to change everything, and they didn't know it. They were staying in a temple. And the majority of Israel stayed in the temple and perished. It was so nice. We got this beautiful building, and we got no move of God, but who cares? It's wonderful and it's comfortable. And we all got cup holders and we all got our stuff. This is great. Big video screens, lots of music, rock it on. Woo! We're having a great time. Where's God? Who? Oh my. Oh, praise God. But finding that place. This man is following God. This is not his idea or his plan. He's following God's plan. Now, he gets up on top of that mountain. He gets up with these people. And in verse 21, he says this. He calls the people to this. And here's a decision. This is the whole thing about the move of God. People... This is why I've been proclaiming Christ, really, from a standpoint. Elijah says this. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And if Baal's God, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. See, God called them out on something. In other words, what they have or where they're at. See, this is one thing. The gospel should call people out, and it don't anymore. The gospel today is to bring comfort to people where they're at, in their belief they're in. It doesn't do that. He calls them out to what they believe. He said, hey, is the Lord God or is Baal God? Which is it? And they have to stop. Now, he says they didn't answer. Why? Gee, they never thought about that. Who is the real God? Is there one? Is there a real God? See, most all these people joke. Even in Jesus' day, Jesus would come along. It would show some scripture. Jesus would heal people, and it said the people didn't tell the Pharisees and stuff about it because they were afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. That would have been the best thing that ever happened to them. But they didn't know that. Well, I got to stay with the crowd. See, I'd rather not have salvation. I'd rather go to hell than be with the crowd. I've heard people talk like that. I'm going to go with where my friends are going. I said, oh, man, good luck on that one. And you get there, it's the first thing you're going to find out. You ain't got a friend in the place. Because every evil thing, and you're going to find out how evil all the evil friends were. And they ain't going to love you there. Because there ain't no love there. What are you going to do when they get to a place? I often thought, what do you get to a place where there's the absence of love? There is none. There's no compassion. There's nothing. None from nobody. The only thing is there is evil and wicked. If that in itself, spend eternity with a group of people that everybody hates one another. My God, you're in Congress. I'm not saying they're getting ramped up for it. But I'm saying, how would that be in a place if nobody loved one another? Can you imagine? Could you imagine what that would be like? Alone. See, people think, I'm going to go to hell like you're going to have friends. There's no friends there. There is no friends. You go to a place that's forsaken of God. Where God doesn't fellowship. Now, I can't, that my mind gets outside of that. Can't imagine. The worst sinner that's in the earth right now, there is somebody who cares. There's somebody who, but there won't be anybody there who cares. There'll be absence of all that. I don't like to spent a lot of time thinking about that. But thank God we don't have to go there. Hallelujah. Praise God. He calls them out on this thing. What he did is when he got up there on the mountain, let me see, they got up there on the mountain. What happened on the mountain? He got up there and he is going to, in other words, God's going to prove. This is not Elijah proving something. It's a man who is anointed by God. God's told him to do this. And so he goes up there and he says, okay, we're going to do this now. We're going to find out who God is. We're going to find out. And we're going to find out. He said, get two bulls, give these guys one, let them put it on their altar, let them do their thing. And the God who answers by fire, that's going to be who's God. Who is God? Who's number? Now, one of the things that they were noted for was they used to do this kind of stuff. See, God's smart. They would do this stuff in temples. I've read histories about certain temples, and they found that some of them, they had this thing. What they'd do, they'd go in, and they wouldn't light their altar to burn anything. And they would pray, and all of a sudden things would start burning. But they even found it in their old temples. They would have a tube that they would run oil down, and then they'd light it, and the fire would go down through, and then start down below and would burn. It was out of sight. You couldn't see it. And they would do this. Well, they didn't have anything at Mount Carmel. See, God's smart. He didn't say, let's go to their place and do it. Let's go up to Mount Carmel. These boys go up there and they dance around. They go through who they're not. They spend the whole afternoon getting after this thing, trying to get. Nothing happens. And then Elijah comes along. And Elijah, excuse me, he is going to do something. Now, we need to see this. It's one of the things that we need to know is us as Christians. No matter what goes on or happens, you need to follow the Word. You need to follow the Word of God. What the Word of God says you need to do. We're going to find out that's what Elijah is doing. So Elijah is following the Word of God. What God has told him, but also what's in Scripture. He's following. He's not out here. God's not a lone gun. God has set down rules on how he does stuff and he does things. He doesn't change it because he wants to do something. God follows. If you don't follow the Word that you know, it's a good chance God ain't going to use you for something else. It's always following the Word. See, when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, our time we're in, I said, it has to be in the Word. It has to be that we can see in the Word of what you do. We must be able to see that. Or it's just, man's ideas. How do we prove it so? I can't just come and say to you, a voice told me this, or a voice of, God didn't come. God spoke to me, it was going to be like it. He took me to the Word. He took me over to show a pattern in the Word. This kind of pattern is in the Word. I mean, look at in Judges, this pattern's in the Word all over the place. This is God's moving. But Elijah comes and he says this in verse 30. We're going to jump there. In verse 30, he says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. See, there was an altar up there. He's going to put a sacrifice. He's going to put it on an altar that God has established, not one he's going to establish. See, today, the church world has established all kind of altars that is not biblical. It's man's. You know, guy comes along and says, God said, hold it, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Always go to the Word. What's the Word say we do? See, he's not starting a new thing. He don't need to. What God's Word is established to begin with and God has done, God has a certain type of altar. In Israel, you burn a sacrifice, it was on a certain type of altar. To this day, if they go like, say, in Israel, they're planning, these Jews are planning to bring temple worship back. They have already, I've seen pictures of it, I've gone online and looked at stuff. They have built altars that were made like they were in those days, certain types of stone that you used, that you made, and you made an altar that you sacrificed on. So see, that they go back to the Word. Well, this is what he's doing. He's following. He didn't come up with a new idea, and God's going to, people think that God's going to start a new thing, it's outside the Word. It will never, ever, ever be outside the Word, or you have no proof. Who said that? It has to follow in line with the pattern of the Word. It has to. God always does. God always goes in patterns, the Word. That's our stability. What stability we have? Well, you never know what God's going to do. I went to a church like that, and they never knew what he was doing either. They never knew. They heard that stuff and believed that stuff. Never know what he's going to do. So he went there. When the altar was broken, I said, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be my name. So he builds an altar. Now, I'm going to go read it all, but he puts an altar up like God did. What he does, we find, he turns around. When he sacrifices, he puts wood just like they had certain ways you put your wood on. God, if you go over and read in the book of, go back and look at Moses, and Moses received the law. They told, in the law, God told them how they were supposed to do it. They even how to cut up. They even had a certain ways you cut up the sacrifice that you had to do. God had established a pattern. He's following a pattern. This is what he's doing. He's doing the pattern that God had established. He's following it. See, now, this, you, when you follow the word, that's a testimony to people. When you don't follow the word, that's a testimony to people too about what you really believe. Because if they know anything about the word, see, you don't follow it. You will never, you'll never move them. Our testimony, that's where your life becomes a testimony in line with the word. You come and preach to them, you preach them to differently than what you live. Good luck. See, this man's a testimony to them as a word of God. He's standing in front of them. He said, God sent me. They can know God sent. He's following the pattern of God that God established. God sent me. He's following the pattern. See, this is our protection. Folks, these things are our protection. So much today is here. God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. What do you mean? What is the new thing? I want to know what it is. I am tired of hearing that one. God's doing a new thing. But what is it? How would I know what it is? But I know this. If God's doing something for me different than he did before, he has to be able to confirm it in the Word. It won't be new to the Word. It won't be new to the Word. It might be new to me, but it won't be new to the Word. See, folks, this is our security. Kenneth Hagin said that he was asked a question at a big meeting they had, and they were asking ministers about how, you know, their ministry's got to set up. They asked him how his ministry got to be successful. He said, well, I don't know of anything. He said, all that I know is this. Number one, I follow the word. Number one. When Jesus spoke to him back in 1950 about the end times, he said, if you follow the word, the Holy Spirit and me, the word is always first. You ain't following Jesus if you ain't following the word. Don't tell people you're following Jesus if you ain't following the word. Number one is to follow the word. Number one. Then, why? You know with the word, the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you. Because he'll always guide you and lead you in line with the word. Hallelujah. Then you'll know it's him guiding and leading you. How else would you know? You see, I've always said this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me and talks to me about things, he always takes me in the Word and shows me things in the Word. Always shows me things in the Word concerning what he said. If I come up, some things come up to me and I can't see it and figure it out from the Word, I would never move on it till I can. I have to be able to see it in the Word. How would I know it was true? How would I know it was God? Just because God said. God said. God said. See, I need the God said in the book too. Not just God said. That's why with prophets, prophets need to get over into more in line with what God said. If you find out, you go back and read the prophets and different things they said about what's going on. When they spoke judgment, you go out and go back into the law and look at why the judgment was spoke the way it was. It's in line with the law. They quit following God and the things that will happen if you quit following God. And they go on to tell them. It's in line with what God said. It wasn't a new thing he was saying. It was nothing but was in line with what the law said would happen to people under the curse. See, it was always in line with it. See, today we're trying to write a new Bible made up of men, God said. No, God speaks in line of this thing. That's what he does. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. I love the Holy Spirit because he teaches me in line with the Word, and Jesus is the Word. I can know Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Word, you don't know Jesus. The more you know the Word and understand it, let the Holy Spirit teach you, Jesus becomes dearer to you. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Hallelujah. That preaches me happy right away, I'll tell you. Glory to God. But he turned around and did this. I want you to read, we're going to read something here in closing today on this. We'll pick up next week. But I want you to read, listen to the prayer. We've done this before, but I want you to listen to the prayer that Elijah prayed before the fire fell. I want you to hear this prayer. This is what's important. Because it shows you the kind of man that Elijah was in following God, and it shows you what God's doing. Understand, this is God at work. This is God coming to a people who have totally neglected Him. This is His people. I've heard people say this. People have gotten so bad, God won't respond to them. He may not for a time, but eventually. I'm going to tell you what. I know this about God because of Scripture. God will always give a last call. Always. He'll always give a last call. How do I know that? It's the pattern of Scripture. I have not seen Him in Scripture being different than any, ever being different. No matter how wicked His people got. His people got so wicked. They ain't paying any attention to Him at all. He comes and visits. He puts drought. He judges them. But you know what? He still loves them. And the call's still going out. The call's going out. God's going to give another call. Here's what the Lord showed me this through this in this prayer. It said, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, now he's going to pray. Now when's he doing it? Do you see this? He is giving, going to do the sacrifice at the time that God established. See, in the temple, they did two main sacrifices a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. That's what God has established from the time of the tabernacle. God had established that. The priest would make these sacrifices. When's he going to make the sacrifice? At the time that God said. He doesn't do it. Just remember all the trouble Saul got into? Go read Saul. Go over to 1 Samuel and read all the trouble Saul got into. He decided he was going to be the priest. He was going to offer the sacrifice when he thought they needed it. Got in big trouble. Stepped out of his office in somebody else's. This guy, he's staying in line with the Word of God. He's following. See, it's so important to stay in line with the Word of God. If we would look at the church today, the church has gotten out of line to the Word of God. That's what the problem is. Christians got out of line of the Word. So we get back in. So it says, Elijah said, Lord God of Abraham, he's going to pray. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant. No, not I'm a big shot and I'm a prophet. No, he said, I'm your servant. He's here, he's praying, God. What do we want known, Lord? What are you supposed to do? Let it be known today, you're God and I'm servant. Ooh. Boy, that don't fit some of the faith I'm a servant, he said, and that I have done all these things at your word. Now, do you realize this doing and offering the sacrifices, it's what the word, written word, had said, but also he's doing what he's doing because of what he heard God say. So the written word, the voice of the word of God didn't overtake the written word. They both ran together. What he's doing is according to things at your word. He said, this is at your word. Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to them. See, people need to know that God's calling them and not man. Man's trying to have today's seeker-friendly churches, man calling man. That's all that is. That's man calling man. That's all it is. Man calling man. No. What I want, I have done this for years. I have prayed, God, I want a move of God that they know it's you and not us. It's you. You're just using us. I want them to know. I want it to be outside of a thought of what men can do and what men think. See, we look and we try to tell God what He ought to do. A lot of praying goes to that. What He ought to be doing. Well, we'll eventually look at some things that God says in His Word that we ought to be praying that He ought to be doing. Because He wants it. And He tells us. But here He tells us. So he says here, he said that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. See, don't we want that to happen? See, I want a last call in the church. See, this is about God's covenant people. See, the Lord said this. First, he's going to call his people back. God, that doesn't mean we can't have people getting saved out here now, but God's number one thing when the move start is to get his people back. If you, I've read after, you know, church history of looking how God used people in church history and reading after men of church history. They, all numbers of them talked about the fact that you never saw much of revival till you got the church to repent. They said when they went to churches and preached, they said sometimes 9 to 12 weeks till you could get the church in line with God. Then they said stuff would start happening. See, today we want a move of God with the church staying the same. Ain't going to happen. But there's a move of God that's going to change. I want you to say this. There are some that are going to jump in the boat, and there are some that are going to jump out of the boat. Always been like that. Always has been like that. Some want to get called back sometime, and some don't. But there's number one. See, I want God, and I pray for God, because I want a move of God that calls his people back. Because there's ones who have gotten on the line and got ushered, they'll come back and walk with God. See, God, you know, you don't first, see, you'll have a lousy family. If in the family the parents are always reaching out to the neighbor's kid and don't reach your own kid, it's ain't going to work very well for a family. God's going to always speak to his. When God came and Jesus came, where did he come first? To Israel, didn't he? Didn't the Messiah come to Israel? What did he tell his disciples when he went out to preach when they were in Israel? Don't go over to the other guys. I'm only sent to the house of Israel. That's where I'm sent to. See, mine first. See, the church forgets all this stuff. We want to reach the world, and God's trying to reach the church. We don't know when the time is. Now, there's nothing wrong. There's people out here reaching people. That's good. But what's the main ticket today? What does God want to do? See, there's a revival coming. I want to get in line. I want to be praying the right things, and I want to be hooked into the right things to be, because I want God to be able to do in fullness. We will either allow God to move in fullness, or we will limit him in what he will be able to do in this last move. One of the two. We are the key of whether how far it goes, not him. We are. Elijah was the key of how far he could go in this. God's the one God's operating through. Huh? Will this guy obey him the whole way? Or will he go up in hell? God called a guy named Rehoboam out of Egypt, brought him back to Israel, a Jew, and wanted to start it. He was supposed to be the guy, the leader over Israel, the 10 tribes. And he knew he was supposed to worship God the way. And the first thing that guy did, he started up another worship type thing. Because he didn't want the people going over to Judah to the temple. And he thought what God called him to, God couldn't keep. So he started a worship system, which ended up living. That was what started the whole thing, the evil that started off in Israel. And Israel being carried off into nations. The whole thing that started that thing off. See, no matter if you're called by God, you'll turn around and limit whether what God can do. Either he'll go a long way, or maybe he can't go near as far. God had great plans for his. He called a guy who knew what to do, but the guy got over. He heard God's call to come in, but he didn't trust God to take care of what God had given him. Oh, we want to trust God. Hallelujah. Well, when he prayed that, turning their hearts back, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones, and it did the whole thing, licked up the water and all that in the trench. All the people fell on their face. In verse 39, it says, "The Lord is He is God. The Lord He is God." That was the call. That wasn't Elijah calling them back. That was God calling them back. They heard the call of God, and that's what we want. We desire that people hear the call of God. And this last thing, God wants to bring back. The Lord spoke to me about it. Because we're going to find out, and there's the things that the Lord said. The Lord told me there was going to be a great drought. Well, I didn't think at that time. It didn't make any sense to me. But I can see, we're in days of drought. I'm not telling you the drought's over yet. The Lord started telling me things that we'll go into later on of what to pray and what to look at. Because we want to talk about this fire. We're not going to build altars, call down fire. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do those things. We're going to look at what the New Testament talks about fire, what it is. So we should expect in our time and what we should do. And so, but I want you to look at this. The people went and turned. And the Lord said this, because we find, if you go on to read, you find out they killed the prophets of Baal. The Lord said to me, he said it was a type of a thing. This is what the Lord said. He said, when they knew I was calling them, they put away sin. See, we're trying to get people put away sin without knowing God's called them. We need an anointing that people know it can't be us. It has to be God doing this thing. We have too many people trying to move into the limelight. They want to be seen. America is a people who want to be seen. We're a people, you know. We got to get tattooed up. We got to get all this stuff. We got to get ourselves looking certain. Everybody has to notice. If we don't know, I need to get on Facebook and I need to get followers. And the church and the Christians ain't any different about it. They're getting on there. And you know what? People are following people. Oh, we use God and Jesus and all this stuff. But it's people following people. When I know God wrote on that thing, I might join it. I want to see the handwriting on the wall. I just But we need to get over where people know. It's just not somebody just doing something else. People need, because we have all these things going on, and America stays a mess. And things. People talk about a move of God, and they say, well, it's going to come, it's going to come. I don't care what's going to come. What do I do now? Where am I at right now? What can I do? How can I cooperate with you to enhance what you want to do? What do you need me? What do you need me doing right now? There's one thing is, I'm just going to tell you this. He don't need people at a big show. That's what he don't need. That's what he's not looking for right now. He wants to be a big God. It ain't the biggest guy in town. Do you know, good ministers get put out in the forefront and the people ruin it because they quit following God and follow him. A good person. And he can't help it because of their carnality, and then they follow after and worship the person and do everything they can to ruin it. Give us a king! Give us a king! Give us a king! Give me somebody that I don't have to do nothing and he tells me everything. He takes care of me, gets an army for me, does all this stuff. Sounds like America, don't it? The church wants kings. I don't want a king. I want a servant. And I'm just going to tell you this. God will have his servants. And he will have his servants. He will have Elijahs that will stand up in the last day, not to be seen of men. The great desire to see God. Oh God, raise them up. Hallelujah. Raise them up. Raise them up, God. Hallelujah. Raise up men and women that glorify you, that magnify you. Hallelujah. That men see that there's a God. Hallelujah. In heaven. And it ain't the government of America. And it ain't the Constitution of America. And it ain't nothing of that. It's God and his kingdom. Oh, man, people just love the kingdom of America. Hallelujah. We want the kingdom of God to flourish. Amen. Look, I'm not saying things, we're not trying to discredit people or anything like that. It is so easy to get caught up in the things of the time with people moving and doing the things that they're doing. And everybody, you know, this is God and that's God. But the greatest thing that the Lord has shown me, and you know, He's dealt with me on myself, is dealing with the fact that, you know, people are saying, and we're listening to people, but we're not confirming things ourselves with God and not sitting and establishing things ourselves. That He wants this personal relationship, this fellowship. He wants a people of fellowship this year. That's what He desires. I've heard ministers saying all these things, and God wants to do what this year thing it is. Who cares? If people need a better fellowship this year than last year, you can spit on anything they said beyond it. People ain't going to walk any further than your fellowship. Your faith don't go any further than your fellowship with God. They talk all this stuff and say all this stuff. It's like, hold it, hold it, hold it. You know, this year's this, and this year's that, and this year's the other thing. I'm just going to tell you what. There's great division coming, and it's going to be more and more. The division comes. Truth is going to bring a whole lot of trouble going on. Great light on one side. See, I knew this when the Lord said, Lord had told me about what was going to happen when I had the vision, and that was like around in 95, and I had the vision. The Lord showed me America. Places of great light, great darkness. And then I realized this light ain't going to shine every place. It's not going to be everywhere. Because when he said people would come from afar, and I realized, that's why he talked about people will come to areas of light, places that are going, and they'll come to there. There's people who want light, and there's people who won't want. He said, the Lord told me this. He said, people who like darkness, he said, they might even live in an area of light, but they'll move to the place of darkness to get away from the light. And then there's places, you know, I'm watching people like moving to places. I watch people call themselves Christians and moving to places of darkness because they think they're going to make more money there. Money ain't light. Money ain't the reason to move. The reason to move is God. If he tells you to live in a desert, stay in a desert. He sends you by the brook. It sends ravens twice a day. That's, you know. He didn't send a Ferrari over. He didn't send guys carrying trays of, you know, hors d'oeuvres and all whatever else. He didn't send that. But if that's whatever God calls to, you stay where God calls you to. You know, naturally, and I'll just tell you, naturally, I'd like to go someplace else. But God told me, he said, this is you're called here. He said, you've spoken over this place. And he said, you'll see. You're going to see it come to fruition. You're going to see it happen. I called you to this. It doesn't matter who gets to the forefront and is seen of men. I'm just so glad I got to see it before it happened. Most people will jump in and think they did wonderful things. They had nothing to do to make it happen. Many people in ministry ride on the back of the person who made it happen. And the person that made it happen, you don't ever see in the forefront. Kenneth Hagin talked about the lady that would pray. She had a map and back in his day. She lived down in Texas. And down in East Texas, they didn't have many churches down there and that stuff. And she put a map on her wall. And she was a prayer. She'd pick a town. And she'd start praying for that town. Pray for years sometime for a town. Till a full gospel church would start in that town. And that woman prayed, and churches would start in town. Churches would start up. Kenneth Hagin said about this, he talked about, he knew the lady, and he said this. He said, there's a lot of preachers went down there, and he said, oh, we did this, and we did that. He said, they get to heaven, is going to find out who did it. He said, that lady started those churches. She's hooking them with God's plan. God had her praying it out, bringing those things into fruition. She never got to the forefront, but she'll get the reward for it. We get to heaven, we're going to find out who was really doing the doing. Hallelujah. I just find it amazing, a Christian less than a year old, and God had Ed, who didn't know nothing about it, standing on a hill saying all these things. Turn around giving me visions about America and what was going to happen. And here I see it today. I see this stuff. I see this stuff going on, and I sit down. I still marvel at it. And I watch guys out here and that stuff, and boy, the guys who in the front, see, a lot of them put themselves in the front, and people put them in the front. God didn't. And they're saying things, and I think, you know, one thing is I've always been, you just hide and watch. You wait. Time always proves itself. I was criticized for things that I believe. I used to say out some things more publicly, and people would, oh, you know, well, so-and-so said. Yeah. Well, those so-and-sos have come and gone with their so-and-so saying. I said things, and it ain't come to pass, and it didn't happen. But things, you wait over time. Don't go to prophesy until God tells you to. Till the anointing comes on you. There has to be anointing. One thing is I learned from Kenneth Hagin, this will help you. It doesn't matter if you know what's being said. Wait till the anointing comes to say it. It's God in you that brings it across, not you. Knowing what to say is not the big, because it may not have any effect on anybody else till the anointing comes. Wait for the anointing. Time to say it. Wait for the anointing. When the anointing comes, it sure makes it a whole lot easier because there's a lot of things I'd have never said. You'd not never speak. Naturally, you'd never say. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. I don't know if it's helped you today at all or not. I hope it did. God wants you clearer and clearer that you... Remember, He wants to put you at rest. He wants you to put it at rest. You're not trying to push him. He'll talk to you. That's what he wants you to know. See, as a fellowship this year, he wants you to know. He just wants you to feel, because he wants to reveal to you and show to you. Because you have a place in all this. You're not just, you know, if you just want to be a spectator, what's the point? We don't need spectators. Spectators are not faith people. Never are. Spectators are never faith people. See, I've never been a spectator since the time I first got born again. So God could take me up on a hill. I never liked you. You know, I would not be a good bench guy. You know, I don't care if they said, I'll give you a $2 million contract, but you'll sit on the bench. You're just going to be a guy in case something happens to somebody else. I don't think I'd take a contract. Hey, if you can't play the game, anything gets it. But I've always been one, if you're going to go do something, get in it. Or stay home. See, I was never a guy to join organizations. And, you know, I always get this thing. I always like to look down at people that have, you know, when they have their obituaries and they belong to 27 organizations, you know. They were never a part of any of them, but they were members. They joined and paid their dues and carried a card and never did a thing to help that place at all. But I was a member. Woo! I was a member of something. See, I never believed in that. To me, it was always like, that was just a waste of my time. You ain't getting my money because I'm not interested in a card in my wallet. I could get cards from the grocery stores or any place else. You can carry these things around. They always ask me, about, do you want to join our rewards program? And I said, you ain't putting another card in my wallet. I said, See, I got to carry 400 cards to get on here. Do you want me to quit buying here? you gotta pull about going through, you know, all these, dear Lord, there's things, and I can't stand it. It's like, my God. I ask all the time, you want to join your rewards program? I always tell them, no, I am not interested in your rewards. Like, my wallet, I ain't carrying a purse. And having a special wallet for 1,400 cards in there in a file cabinet. You pull a drawer out, start going through the file to try to find the one. Maybe you like doing that. That's not it. That's not me. We'll just believe God gets it and pay for it. Oh, it's an app. Yeah, you put a phone. And now your phone's so full of those, you can't put anything else in it. I have 400 apps of different companies that I hate. Yeah. Going through, trying to find my app. Say, oh my God, there's nothing important over it. I can't even get a Bible on it anymore because it's filled with apps. Hallelujah. We're having a good time, aren't we? Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you today because you are good. Father, we never want to lose our joy. Father, we want to be a people at peace and rest in these last days. And Lord God, there's only one way to do that, and that's walking with you. And I want to thank you for your patience and kindness and love toward us. Lord, I'm just astounded. Lord God, the more I go to the scriptures anymore and I look how you responded to your people, even when they never responded to you, but yet you responded to them. You're absolutely phenomenal. And Father, it only just puts great hope for us in this day and time we live in. Father, I don't want to become a skeptic. Hallelujah. I don't want to sit and live in a place of wonder. Will you do something or you won't? Father, I cannot see it in your nature other than you. You will do everything you can to bless in this day. I can't see it any other way. Father God, we want a show, but we want your show. We want you to show up in this last day. We want you to manifest yourself. Lord God, Lord, we're even looking around at our loved ones, and even we can call loved ones brothers and sisters that we have walked with in the Lord who strayed away from things and no longer walk where they used to walk. Lord God, Lord, we want them to come and walk again. We want them to walk with you again. We want them to come back to that place. And Father, sometimes maybe we've reached out to them, but Lord, they haven't listened to us. Lord, oh, we need a move of heaven. We need a move of heaven. Lord, we've had moves of men. And forgive us, Lord God. Lord, I believe many have done it with very good intent. I don't believe they were trying to do wrong, Lord. But Lord God, forgive us for doing what we weren't supposed to do and not taking the time asking you, not the time seeking you and finding out what you want. Lord, we didn't slow down. We've been a people on a run. Forgive us for that, Lord God. And Father, we know you will because you're so good. Oh, my. Lord God, I just want to thank you because with all my heart, I believe you're going to ring that dinner bell again in this last day. You're going to ring that bell. You're going to ring it for the church. And Lord God, and the rain's going to fall on the seed in the world of the word that was preached. And that rain's going to fall. And Lord God, harvest day is a-coming. Harvest day is coming. Hallelujah. Lord, the day will come. Hallelujah. When the plowman overtakes the reaper. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. I want to thank you that we're going to see it with our eyes. We're going to know it. There's going to be a move of God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, everyone's going to know that you are the one who rang the bell. And we were just your servants doing what you told us to do. And I want to thank you for that today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.